T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So, despite their best efforts, they cannot find any proof that Trump colluded with the Russians, or much less, colluded with the Russians, had any contact with the Russians regarding the alleged fixing of the election. Correct?
So far, yeah.
Yeah, so far. So we're like 2 years into this, right?
Right.
So, I mean, has this investigation produced any evidence of crimes? Oh, why, yes, it has. In fact, a screaming, smoking gun, yet another well-documented crimes, Lee. So where are the arrests? Well, see, the problem is that it wasn't Trump or anyone around him who did the crimes. Did you see this? John Solomon, the only honest journalist in the mainstream media, who writes for The Hill. I mean, you can't flat out bust anybody harder than John Sullivan just did in The Hill. The whole conspiracy is out there for anybody who wants to see it. In The Hill today. And what Solomon has done is documented in excruciating detail the crimes committed by those at the Department of Justice and the FBI when they filed the FISA warrant to spy on Carter Page and thus the whole Trump team, including Trump himself, because it included two jumps. That's why they needed the warrant on Carter Page so they could spy on Trump and get the upper hand to help Hillary win the election. Did you see top DOJ officials, including Bruce Ohr, warned corrupt DOJ officials and top FBI officials that the dossier they were using to apply for the warrant was biased and likely not true? This warning was weeks before they obtained the FISA warrant on Carter Page. Rod Rosenstein and James Comey both signed that FISA warrant under penalty of perjury, that they had vetted the sources and found them to be accurate. We now know for a fact that they knew, because Bruce Ohr told them, he's a high-ranking Justice Department official, that the dossier was untrue. Now, how would Bruce Ohr know this? Because Bruce Ohr, cha-ching, cha-ching, was cashing Hillary's checks. His wife, Nellie Ohr, of the CIA, was working for the people who put the fake dossier together. Nellie knew it. Bruce knew it. Bruce warned the people who perjured themselves, that's a felony, up to 5 years in prison, when they signed the FISA warrant application. This is indisputable. These are facts. These are crimes. The only crimes that any of this Russian stuff is uncovered, Lee, and nothing happens. You can flaunt felonies right out there in public and nothing happens. Do you remember me losing my mind like 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago? Remember when Comey testified?
Oh, yeah.
Before Congress? And Comey goes up there under oath, puts his hand up. Yeah, I'll tell the whole truth if it's convenient for me.
Yeah.
And, well, that's the Comey standard. And admits. He's flat out asked by Trey Gowdy. So, did you verify that Steele dossier? You know, the one that you told the court under penalty of perjury that you had verified. But did you verify it? Do you know that it was true? No, I don't know. Well, see, sir, that's a problem because you sign that line right under your name. It says under penalty of perjury.
Yeah.
It has been verified. You signed that. Mm-hmm. So we now have Comey, who has admitted this past fall under oath that he lied to the FISA court under penalty of perjury. Again, felony carries up to 5 years in prison. But should we need any more proof of the crime? Here it is, smacking us across the face again. John Solomon in The Hill breaking this. Former top DOJ official Bruce Ohr, now demoted and fired in disgrace, warned FBI and DOJ officials that Steele's dossier was connected to Hillary Clinton and cautioned them that it may be biased. Oh, wait. There's some more perjury here. Do you remember when Comey said under oath that he wasn't really sure about the origins?
Mm-hmm.
of the dossier? Well, that's strange. He said that under oath. The thing is, Bruce Orr said this under oath. So we have so much proof that they committed at least perjury. There's perjury here. There's a decent case I'd love to run by a grand jury for obstruction of justice by Comey and the folks at the top of the DOJ and the FBI. And there's debt. I mean, if it were me, I'd go for broke with a grand jury and try to go conspiracy to commit perjury as well. I'd go for straight up perjury charges and conspiracy and see where I went. Why is this not before a grand jury? It's been documented. It's in The Hill, a mainstream media publication. It's everywhere for anybody who wants to see it, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
These are crimes. It's not, well, it's lack of ethics, but Comey's a good guy. And to watch, to watch the dumb jerk who's now going to head the Department of Injustice tell us Comey's a great guy in the hearings the other day? It's Trump's nominee. Heck if I know what Trump was thinking. How? I mean, how? Is this continuing?
Because it's the dual justice system.
Oh, by the way.
The Clintons are protected.
Two of those top officials who were told before they, you know, put together the Steele dossier and perjured themselves that it wasn't real, then jumped over and worked for Mueller.
Well, of course. That's how you cover yourself. You become part of the investigation of something you were involved in.
Think about that kind of power. I mean, the power, I'm telling you, the only privilege in our country is liberal privilege. There is no other kind of privilege.
Yep.
If you know, I mean, there's not even, there, I mean, never mind. There, liberal privilege is that you can openly commit felonies. You can perjure yourself before Congress lying about the felonies that you have committed. You can admit under oath before Congress to other felonies that you have committed that are perjury. And nothing happens. No one touches you.
And there's no outrage in the media
either.
Not a peep.
Where are Congress members?
Yeah.
Do they not read The Hill?
Oh, they read The Hill.
What are they so afraid of? I mean, that's what's really scary. Why are they so afraid to act? Because right there, that's a measure of power. We got them. We got them dead to rights. We have every one of these jerks. Criminals. We got them. No one will do anything. There's a power there they're obviously afraid of. And it should scare you, too, if the top-ranking officials in this country, in Congress, on these committees, have said nothing. Democrats and Republicans alike.
It's
just
the power
sheer
of
silence.
The establishment.
Yeah, it's liberal privilege. And it has been weaponized to the point where criminals now have liberal privilege. And that's a really scary thing to watch. It's just, like I said, it's all out there for anybody who wants to see it. Read John Solomon's piece. It's the only thing you need to read about Russia to understand what happened. It's got it all right there. So I suppose I'll see the felon, James Comey, on Twitter again today, just firing off his big old mouth, as you get to do if you have liberal privilege. What an advantage in election if you have liberal privilege. You can commit any felony you want, spy on whoever you want to get the upper hand, and nothing will happen to you. Texter writes, remember the Untouchables? Costner is asked how he changed the judge's mind about switching the bought jury. He says, I told him his name was on the list. Think FISA. Texter writes, you can't drain the swamp by stocking it with more swamp creatures, which I think, unfortunately, Trump is doing with his appointment of the current. Never mind. Future? I don't know. Director of the Department of Injustice. Okay, I got to tell you about this. What I did yesterday. And I actually didn't realize what they did yesterday until I was driving home. Then it dawned on me how hilarious it was. Yesterday, I was not here because I was out doing media training day at with the sheriff's office. And so, you know, they run you through all kinds of, you know, training so you can get an idea what it would be like to be a sheriff's deputy. It's not the full training, it's just a sample. So it's me and a bunch of reporters and nice people. Local reporters. And I didn't realize what they had done until I got home. In about 3 minutes, they got local reporters, many of them that were there, to shoot an unarmed woman in the back. Isn't that the kind of thing reporters usually fault officers for and then, at least at the national level, declare them racist? Why, yes, it is. How, pray tell, did they get reporters to shoot an unarmed woman in the back? It's a great story. And we were doing training exercises. And boy, did I learn something from this yesterday. So they gave us, we had real guns. They suited us up. We didn't have real bullets. It was soap pellets with dye in them. But I mean, if you get hit with one of those, it really hurts you. So you have to get suited up, right? So we go out there and they put us through scenarios. And they advised us, the way they would advise, deputies what to do. Watch the hands, blah, blah, blah. Shoot when you think it's necessary, but only with the most amount of force you think is necessary. So the first person that you encounter is a woman, and you've been called to the scene, and she's threatening to kill herself. She's got a gun to her head. Okay. Let me stop you there for a second and ask this. What kind of person shoots a suicidal woman in the head? Who does that? A bad person, right? What kind of person shoots a suicidal woman in the back as she runs? A terrible person. Well, that's funny because I looked at the show of hands afterward and more than half the reporters in the room shot her in the back as she ran away. How did the sheriff's office get reporters to do that? They put them in a real situation. So here's what happened. And I'm ashamed to say I failed the test. And the test was this. They said, watch her hands. She had a gun to her head. So I sent you out there and you had the gun too. And I said to myself, okay, I'm gonna be one of those who goes ahead and shoots her. I'm gonna eliminate the threat. I'm not gonna be all politically correct and all. So I had the gun trained on her. And this was amazing to me. Really learned something yesterday. I had the gun trained on her and I figured I could pull the trigger fast enough when she moved the gun off her head that I would shoot her before she could menace me. Didn't work. She shot me before I could pull the trigger. And that taught me a lot. I didn't realize that was possible. It did. She hit me, center mass, boom, dead. Rambo Loco gave me a hell of a time when I came home with my center mass dead shot on me. But she did. I couldn't shoot her faster than she could shoot me. It moved so fast. I know it's funny. As a reporter in Charlotte, one of the cases I covered is two police officers. They had stopped a guy and they had half frisked him when he got away. So they're chasing after him. It's a black guy. They're chasing after him and they're running. And he had a gun and he turned and shot both of them dead. And what was amazing about that, both had their weapons out and drawn. Yet he was still able to shoot them. I always wondered how on earth, and I understood yesterday for the first time, how on earth. It was so fast. She could have easily killed two of me before I pressed the trigger. But what was really funny was they ran the media through, and I didn't realize what they were doing until I left. And I started putting it together. They got reporters to shoot an unarmed woman in the back in self-defense. What was amazing about it was afterward they asked me the question, did you see her throw the gun? She was running. She'd already shot me. Most of them shot her in the back. I was like, no, I don't know. He asked me, did she throw the gun? I said, I don't know. She had thrown the gun. Most people didn't see it. And they explained why you don't see it. You go into tunnel vision when you're in a survival situation. And what the brain does is it hyper-focuses on the threat and eliminates the small details that normally in a day-to-day life you'd need the small details, but in that you don't. We didn't see her throw the gun, most of us. And many of those reporters, more than half, shot her in the back as she ran. Took them 3 minutes to get what many in the media condemned police for doing all the time. And when you left the situation, you could clearly tell it was completely logical to shoot her in the back. And of course, many people, including myself, shocked that she had thrown the gun. I didn't see it. I did not see it. And he said, listen, now, what happens is afterwards, this is the range master. He says, afterwards, what happens is it's all on video, right? Because a lot of these officers are now wearing, body cams. And so the officer goes to his superiors. No, she didn't shoot. She didn't throw the gun. She didn't. Well, she's right there in the video throwing a gun. Now you're a liar and a racist. Just a complete all-around jerk. How did you not see her throw the gun? I didn't see it. And they didn't either. Now, I got to give credit to the reporters who shot her. They did better than I did. I got shot first. I was under the mistaken impression that if I had a gun out and pointed, that if she moved her hand, moved her hand with the gun away from her head, that I could shoot her fast enough to save my life. And I was wrong. I couldn't do it. I couldn't get my thumb on the trigger and pull it faster than she could react. I didn't know that. And so, you know, folks calling here all the time is saying, well, you know, you should have just thought and not, you can't. You can't. I learned that yesterday. And I thought they didn't have much to teach me. I've been to these training sessions before. I know that a person with a knife can cover 21 feet in 1.5 seconds. I know that you have to shoot them, even if they're 10 feet away. I get it. I know all that. And still, I failed the test. So I just want to say to those of you out in law enforcement, I'd love to hear your reactions to this. I thought it was hysterical that they got reporters to shoot an unarmed woman in the back in less than 3 minutes. That was great. But I just love to hear from you in law enforcement, your reactions to this, and also to thank you if you're in law enforcement. After yesterday, I came home. I can't do what you do. You are faced with an absolute impossibility. You either defend your own life or you go down as a jerk racist who shoots women in the back. There's no good way around it. There's none. And I can't do what you do. I learned that yesterday, but you can. And you're a hero, I think, because of it. I admire all of you so much more after doing that. So I want to thank the folks at the Sheriff's Department. Great day. Still laughing at the sheriff's office for during the training session yesterday, getting a majority of the reporters in the room to shoot an unarmed woman in the back. And you can see how you were totally justified, too. I got it. It was an amazing training session. And, you know, I'm having a little fun this morning at those reporters' expense, but actually the majority did better than I did. I got shot before I could shoot her in the back. I hesitated too much. See, I knew I would. Now, this is why I would be terrible in a military situation or a law enforcement situation. This is why I admire what you do so much. Because I second-guessed myself. And I didn't. I got shot by a woman where I was called to the scene in the training because she was contemplating suicide and had a gun to her head. She was, you know, in a public place. And they said, okay, watch your hands. Yeah, just watch your hands. And then you decide what the appropriate level of force is and we'll see how you did. We'll see if you managed to comply with Sheriff's Department protocol and federal law and all that, court rulings. I watched her hands, and she pulled the gun off her head and shot me. And I had a gun pointed at her. By the way, I think earlier I said I had my thumb on the trigger. I did. I misspoke. I didn't. I actually had it wrapped around the gun. I had my finger on the trigger, and I couldn't pull it fast enough to save my own life. And I went, wow, this is an impossible situation. Really opened my eyes. And I thought my eyes were pretty open. Texture writes, called the OODA loop, and you're on the reaction side. Yeah, we learned about the OODA loop. Basically, if you're on the reaction side and not the aggression side, you are behind the curve already. Texture writes, Tara, thank you for your support of law enforcement, for bringing to light the difficulties of the job. And Texture writes, maybe the problem is you were trying to fire a gun with your thumb. I actually wasn't. I misspoke, but thank you for pointing that out. Texture writes, you have a 1.5 to 2 second reaction time. If you wait, you are behind the curve. I didn't realize I waited, but I did. Texture writes, I think civilians would benefit from a class like that, not just reporters. I don't know if the Sheriff's Department offers it for civilians. It was really eye-opening. Texture writes, Chair, where do you think Trump should hold the State of the Union? Should he send Nancy a copy of the State of the Union prior to his speech? Nancy. Isn't it ironic? Wait. She doesn't want Trump to hold the State of the Union address because it might compromise the safety of Congress members. But you are not entitled to a border wall. She's unbelievable. If a Republican were this hypocritical, the media would nail them to a wall. Especially after the Department of Homeland Security, Secret Service, all of them said, hey, listen, we got this handled. These budget cuts aren't going to affect our ability to keep you safe. Do you love how Nancy's only worried about keeping her and her fellow Democrats safe, not you? This woman who will not so much as meet with a single angel mom or angel parent. You know, they went to her office, she wouldn't see them. Shame. Shame on her. Wouldn't even speak to the parents and spouses of dead people. Dead Americans. God, it takes a level of callousness. I mean, that is practically sociopathic. And I just want to ask you, can you imagine if, because of a Republican policy of some sort, somebody died, and that Republican Congress member refused to meet with the parents or the loved ones? Can you imagine? They'd be crucified. Oh, by the way, Nancy says there's no evidence. It's no evidence that there's a crisis at the border. There's absolutely none. There's no data. Anecdotes don't make data, she said. Remember when she was asked about the killing of Corporal Singh, the police officer? She's asked about all the angel families she won't meet with. Remember this? And do you remember when Nancy responded? Well, you know, anecdotes, that doesn't make data. Well, here's some data, Nancy. From Congress, of all places. Yep. Judicial Watch got a hold of a report compiled by the House Homeland Security Committee, which Nancy oversees, oddly enough, as the Speaker of the House. You'll be pleased to know that in Laredo, Texas alone, there was an astonishing 300% increase in immigrants from Bangladesh here recently. An Islamic country well known as a recruiting ground for terrorist groups such as ISIS and Al-Qaeda. But, I mean, there's no crisis on the board. I mean, there's no data except the data that Nancy's committee is producing. But, I mean, other than that, there's not. I mean, it's just nothing to be afraid of. The House investigation found that, as of September 2018, a record 630 Bangladeshi nationals had been arrested trying to enter the U.S. illegally in Laredo, Texas, alone. That marks a 300% increase from the previous year. The routes facilitating the illicit travel of these Bangladeshis are mostly controlled by the drug cartels, which charge tens of thousands of dollars to smuggle special interest aliens and other migrants across the U.S. Folks, terrorists are flooding over our border. How hard is this to understand? She says she needs data. We got data. We got congressionally sourced data. Well, I mean, but that's just Bangladeshis. I mean, you can't assume they're terrorists. I mean, you can't say terrorists are coming over our border. The same report includes several disturbing cases of Islamic terrorists who made it to the U.S. via Mexico. Keep in mind, we only catch 2 out of 5. This is what we caught. This is not what got through. This is not the 3 that got through. This is the 2 that got caught. Among them are Mohammed Al-Dari, a Jordanian arrested last summer in New York for allegedly smuggling special interest aliens from Yemen across the U.S.-Mexico border into Texas. Okay, Yemen? Yemen is nothing but a big war right now between ISIS and Al-Qaeda on one side and Hezbollah on the other, two terrorist groups. There's nobody good from Yemen that could come in here. Others include Pakistani Sharafat Ali Khan, convicted for smuggling fellow Pakistanis with terrorism ties into the U.S., Somalian Abdullah Omar Fadisi, a member of the Al-Shabaab terrorist group, Somalian Ahmed Muhammad Dakani, a member of the Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Baqarat and Al-somebody-somebody, and Lebanese Mahmoud Youssef Kourani, a fighter, recruiter, and fundraiser for Hezbollah. He actually made it into the country before they caught him. Kourani paid a Beirut consular officer $3,000 for a Mexican visa and an additional $4,000 to be smuggled across the U.S.-Mexico border. Yeah. Some of the other SIAs also operated smuggling rings through South and Central America. So, I mean, Nancy wants data. She says Trump didn't have any data. Here's the data. Produced by Congress, which she runs. Additionally, many of the countries in the Americas have lenient visa and immigration policies in place, even for individuals from special interest countries. The special interest countries are countries that basically have a terrorism problem that the government's looking the other way about. Oh, the report also said that Hezbollah is growing at an alarming rate in Latin America and our border's wide open. But I mean, other than that, everything is totally safe. It's totally safe. There's no doubt. It's just anecdotes. Oh, did you see this? Border ranchers in New Mexico warn, we're finding prayer rugs out here. Now, as you know, that's been going on for years. But it's getting worse, they say. Washington Examiner reporting. I've talked to several agents that I trust with the Border Patrol. What Border Patrol classifies as other than Mexicans has really increased in the last couple of years, but drastically within the last 6 months. Here we're hearing it again. Chinese, Germans, Russians, a lot of Middle Easterners, those Czechoslovakians they caught over at our neighbors just last summer. They're leaving prayer rugs all over the place. The Muslim prayer rugs. The accounts from ranchers and farmers in New Mexico corroborate reporting from Judicial Watch and other embedded reporters claiming military-age males from Bangladesh and Middle East are trying to cross the border. Well, no surprise. I mean, I'm sorry. Did the Guatemalan president not warn us as recently as the fall that they'd caught over 100 ISIS fighters from the battlefield in Guatemala trying to infiltrate the caravans? So, I mean, no surprise. Yeah, of course they made it. Of course they did. Not surprised. And she wants to leave the border wide open. But make sure Congress is protected during the State of the Union. Oh, yeah, this I meant to get to this. Text wise, Lindsey Graham said that the suicide bomber in Syria shows that ISIS is not defeated in Syria, like Trump says. I want to address this. Okay, how can Trump know that it's appropriate to pull out of Syria at this time? And why is Trump pulling out of Syria different from Obama pulling out of Afghanistan and Iraq? Okay, I can easily answer this question. It is totally different than what Obama did. Let me tell you why. Two reasons. Number one, the Russians and Assad have ISIS under control. They do. We don't have that in Afghanistan. But how could Trump know for certain ISIS won't regain territory in Syria if we pull out? A couple of ways. The Prime Minister of Iraq, a year ago, announced that the war with ISIS was over and he pulled out. Pulled out of where? Well, the caliphate was on the border between Syria and Iraq, right? 30,000 strong at one point. That's a horror. And they were defeated. The border was restored. And a year ago, he announced he was pulling troops back because they weren't needed. They'd won the war on ISIS. Wow. So the head of Iraq thinks the war on ISIS is won? Yeah, because it was. And then last summer, the London Daily Mail did an interview with the ISIS folks. Their caliphate was decimated. I mean, long since destroyed by Trump and the Russians. And asked them, so, you know, what are you doing now? Are we going to do lone wolf attacks? Yeah, we're not going to try to hold territory anymore. We're not going to get away with that. We've given up on that. But you're not going to fight for the caliphate again in Syria. No, we're not. And what happened? They began an exodus, which I have documented for you painstakingly. From the battlefield, they have been showing up in Canada. Again, this is why the president of Guatemala caught 100 of the suckers. Coming into Guatemala, trying to infiltrate. This is now the international policy of ISIS. So I'm not surprised there was an ISIS suicide attack in Syria. There are ISIS suicide attacks in the UK all the time. Are we going to go there and stay there? We're going to do that. We'll put troops there in London? No. This is the new strategy. You cannot combat suicide attacks with military installations. We would need one everywhere. But how can I know, how can Trump know for certain that Lindsey Graham is wrong and ISIS won't regain territory in Syria if we pull out? I can tell you how. Because ISIS and Al-Qaeda could not have built a 3,000-member strong caliphate in Syria and Iraq, which Trump and Russia destroyed, without financial support, arms, and training from the U.S. And ISIS and Al-Qaeda got that during the Obama administration. I've documented it painstakingly for you. I'm going to go back to it here. You can look it up on the podcast. That has now ended. We're not arming and training Al-Qaeda anymore. We're not piping in our battlefield instructions into their headsets from Jordan and Turkey, where we had training camps to train them. We call them the rebels, but they were always ISIS and Al-Qaeda. We're not helping them. Had we not helped them, they never would have had a caliphate. We're not helping them. That's how the war has ended, enraging the Uniparty, which called ISIS the rebels and wanted to use them to defeat the Russians. That's how Trump knows it's safe. Because he's not training them. He's not arming them. He's not lying to the American people and saying they're the rebels. You know, and the lie told to the American people, oh, Assad's killing his people. No, Assad was killing ISIS and Al-Qaeda, just like us, in other countries. Well, who are the rebels killing? Like, why was Assad killing him? Because he's a mean guy? No, because ISIS and Al-Qaeda were killing Christians, Jews, Kurds, Shia Muslims, because ISIS and Al-Qaeda are Sunni, in Syria. And through a partnership with Russia and Assad and us, we defeated them. And so since nobody is arming and training them anymore, providing logistical support as we were, they're not coming back. They can't. They admitted they're not coming back. They can. They don't have our help. Not for now. It is important to get the Uniparty out of Syria, to get the Pentagon out of Syria. Why? So that the minute Trump's gone, they can't start arming and training ISIS and Al-Qaeda again. This is not hard. It's the only people who can't understand it are people like Lindsey Graham. But then I think he's got ulterior motives. He was always for the rebels, and the rebels were always ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.